Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome. We're so pleased to see to be back with Thursday Morning Roundtable. And I want to say welcome especially to some of our guests. We had extended an invitation to former Citizens Academy folks who to try us out for size for September. And if they're interested, they can then apply for TMR. Before we get started, I want to tell you that Alex Charters, who, as you know, is a long-time Thursday Morning Roundtable member and the founder, just 2.5 weeks ago celebrated his 100th birthday. And Alex, you said to me the other day you've had a lot of parties since your birthday, which I think they started in Cape Cod and they just kept on going. So happy birthday, Alex, yet again. So today we have with us John DeSantis, who is the founder and the president of the board of directors for Believe in Syracuse. He received a Bachelor of Science degree from Syracuse University. Following his graduation, he was employed by the Obama campaign, first as a grassroots field organizer and then as the regional field director. After 8 years of living in Rochester, Washington, D.C., and Scranton, Pennsylvania, John came back to Syracuse. He realized that many of his friends had left to take jobs in other cities, and so he started Believe in Syracuse with the idea that we can change the conversation about Syracuse, more people will stay here and or come back home. So please welcome John DeSantis.
Thank you so much, and thank you for that kind introduction. As you heard, I'm John DeSantis. I'm the founder and now executive director of Believe in Syracuse, and I'm really pleased to be here today. I've sat in on a number of TMR discussions before, and every time I come, I'm just so impressed by all of you and by, you know, the experience that's in the room and the civic discussion that happens here. So I was really honored to be asked to be here and excited to present to you today. So what is this Believe in Syracuse that you hear of? So Believe in Syracuse, our mission is to promote positive perceptions and improve the quality of life in the greater Syracuse area. So what it really boils down to is taking civic pride, inspiring people about what we love about Central New York, what all of us love about Central New York, and using that as a motivator to get people involved in the community for civic pride turning into civic action. So we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We have an 8-member board of directors. It's 3.5 years old. I started it in January 2013. This is our board of directors. Our top left, you've got our president, Paul Colabuffo, Nancy Earley, Roslyn Peterson, Brian Burns, Lakia Hill, O'Neill Kelly, Esther Zorn, and Mac McArdle. So why do we exist? Part of it is, like was said, you know, it was to change the conversation about Syracuse. Too often, there's too much cynicism here. People complain about the snow. People complain about the roads. And people complain about everything, you know. And constructive criticism is really important. And all of you know that. And I think, it's really important that. And a lot of it comes from a real place of. The decline that may have happened, you know, in the last 50 years in Syracuse, you know, with suburban sprawl and seeing some of our urban core decline, I think is real, and seeing a lot of the manufacturing leave in the 80s and the 90s, I think, you know, we saw a lot of that, and that's contributed to a lot of cynicism and negativity, which we try to turn that around in order to get people more involved in the community and to keep more people here, you know, keep people living here and bring talented people back to the area. So, so we organize volunteers on a grassroots level, and really our niche is when it comes down to generating that positive energy and combating that cynicism. And we make civic engagement fun and exciting, if you can believe that. So why we believe in Syracuse? First, I'll talk a little bit about the things inherent in this community that we love, that really make it great, you know. So the number one thing for me is that we have the best of both worlds. You know, I grew up in DeWitt. I currently live in Eastwood. My wife, she grew up in Baldwinsville. And there's such a diversity of, from, you know, Beaver Lake, where my wife was a summer camp counselor when she was a kid, to Armory Square. And, you know, you can be in Armory Square and in 15 minutes drive and end up in an apple field in Lafayette. And the fact that, you know, there's so much diversity of different, you know, urban, suburban, you know, we've got great culture in downtown, and yet we've got such great parks and such great farms and beautiful spaces in suburban and rural areas as well. So that we really have it all here, and that's really the number one thing that makes me believe in Syracuse. You know, the traffic, when you compare it to major cities, it's really minimal. Great art and culture, history. We have all four seasons here. You know, I think we take that for granted, and sometimes we complain a lot about the weather, but I think it's a really big selling point is that, you know, right now it's, you know, 75 degrees out. You know, in a couple of weeks it could be 40 degrees out, you know, so, you know, we really will see it all here. And the cost of living is really low. CNN Money has ranked us the number one most affordable place to buy a home. And, you know, one of the things, you know, I think one of the reasons why I was invited here today was to, you know, try to get more young people involved in TMR. And I think when you look at the past of Syracuse and you look at the problems that have been here over the years, and you look at the manufacturing that's left, the vacant buildings that have been created downtown, my generation is seeing those as opportunities. And I think your generation has done a fabulous job preserving historic buildings. And today we're starting to see those buildings fill up with, you know, in downtown Syracuse, seeing them fill with apartments and new restaurants and new businesses. And I think that's just really exciting for our community. And I think in the past 5 years, we're really seeing kind of a tipping point, past 10 years, really seeing a lot of things turn around in the other direction. So in the past year, Syracuse added 1,800 jobs. In 2015, travelers spent 7% more than they did in 2014, people who visited Syracuse. And in the past year, 21 new retail businesses and restaurants opened downtown. And you know, you'll see in the bottom right corner of my little photo collage, you'll see Original Grain, which just opened up in Armory Square. You see Lee and Steigerwald's, Vintage Love, the Creole Soul, which is near Armory Square. So many great new businesses are opening up downtown, and that adds to a level of excitement and civic pride in the community. Hotel Syracuse is back, and Believe in Syracuse just held our Progress Gala there, and I can see you guys excited about Hotel Syracuse. All right, it's incredible asset for the community and an incredible civic center. Onondaga Lake is rising from the dead, and I swam in Onondaga Lake a year ago, and I'm still alive. Well, I only have two eyes, no gills. But, I mean, Onondaga Lake being such a huge national resource in the core of our county, we're pretty much in the core of our city, is such a huge opportunity for our community, and to see it completely rise from the dead is really, really exciting. And it's exciting for our economy, and it's exciting for our environment. Lakeview Amphitheater is allowing Central New York to attract big name concerts that we wouldn't be able to attract before. And I think, you know, they're working out the kinks with all the parking and the traffic, and I think it's a really exciting thing for the community. And this year we had a record-setting New York State Fair, you know, the biggest attendance that we've ever had. So that's a good sign and a good barometer for the community. So a little bit about me. I mentioned before, I've sat in on some of these events, these TMR sessions before. So I grew up here. I went to JD. I went away to college for a little while. Then I went to SU. I lived in D.C. for a little while. I live in Pennsylvania for a little while. And I settled here, and I found, you know, so many of my friends had moved away. And I realized that, and I, you know, getting involved in the community by working on the Obama campaign 2008 through 2012, I was a field organizer and then regional field director, overseeing upstate New York. And I really learned a lot through that experience, and I really, about organizing and about, it was never really about politics. It was really about the power of working together with people from diverse backgrounds and organizing volunteers. And so that was a really incredible experience. And but after that, having met my wife, I really knew that this is where I wanted to be. And I saw so many of my friends moved away. And I was actually sitting in the banquet room at Drumlin's at a TMR session. And I asked a question. I got up the nerve to ask a question of one of the presenters about they were talking about tourism, bringing tourism to Central New York. And my question was, what do you see is missing in the community to help you attract tourism? You know, what do you think the community can do better to help you? And their answer was that people don't believe in Syracuse, that people don't think that the big things are possible here. So, people don't think that this can be a tourist attraction. And I think too often, people who live here, we're our own biggest critic. And so this was in December of 2012. And a month later, I started Believe in Syracuse just put it out there, never thinking anything would come of it. Just created a Facebook page and a website. And it kind of took off. So I started Believe in Syracuse in 2013. Became a nonprofit in 2014, and so we've came a long way. Like I said, it started as a social media campaign. We started holding a lot of events. We had a kickoff party at Al's in 2013, and we had 60 people show up, and I was like, wow, there must be something here. We held a lot of networking events, speaker series events, neighborhood nights, and and really started to build a lot of momentum and really started to talk a lot about all the great things and get a lot of the word out about all the great things we have here in Central New York. So really what I said earlier about our mission really comes down to, when we boil it all down, it's about taking civic pride, inspiring civic pride, taking optimism and energy and excitement for this community and converting it into progress, converting it into programs that are going to make a difference. So in terms of engaging people and inspiring people, we do that a lot through our social media. Our Facebook reaches over 3,000 people a day. Our website is averaging 2,000 visits a month. We have 8,000 Twitter followers, 6,000 on Instagram. And it translates into real-world growth for our organization. So we have 200 dues-paying members. They're just individuals that sign up at $20, $25 each. We have 1,300 email list subscribers. That really kind of quantifies how many people we have interacted with over the past couple years between our events and our website. We have 8-member board of directors, 1 part-time staff, which is yours truly. And we just had our gala, Hotel Syracuse. I'll show you a couple pictures from that event. It was so beautiful and really exciting to have 250 people up in the grand ballroom celebrating the hotel being back. And you'll see those are some pictures of our third birthday party we had at the Landmark. So yeah, these are some couple pictures. We had Sean Kirst, Ed Riley, Farah Jadran speak at our Progress Gala in July at Hotel Syracuse. And it's really just an exciting moment to have that resource back in our community. So all of that, that was a big fundraiser for us, our Progress Gala at Hotel Syracuse, and all our Facebook and our website and our email list. That's all the excitement and the energy that we're generating, and this is how we're putting it to work for the community. So our neighborhood committee organized the first ever Syracuse Neighborhood Olympics. And our president of our board, Paul Colabufo, he was the brainchild behind that effort. And we're really excited. He's going to be now 4 different neighborhoods won different medals in the Olympics. And we're going to be fulfilling volunteer hours to beautify those neighborhoods. So it was Eastwood, the North Side, the Valley, and Strathmore. So we're excited. We have projects all lined up and going to be beautifying the neighborhood a little bit. Our community organizing program, we actually got a grant a year ago from the Gifford Foundation to, we did a survey, we found that, you know, on the east side, where maybe a lot of you live, Tip Hill, Strathmore, we see a lot of civic engagement already. We see a lot of civic groups embedded in those neighborhoods. On the north side and the south side, we really don't see quite that level of existing infrastructure for people to get involved, you know. I see Sue here, and Eastwood has, I live in Eastwood, and such a great Eastwood Neighborhood Association, Tip Hill, great neighborhood association, and so I felt like, you know, we needed that on the north side and the south side. So our north side team, we started about a year ago, and we did a 4th of July children's parade in Schiller Park, and we're really excited. It's all about celebrating, you know, the diversity of the north side and promoting the great things about it and also trying to make a difference. And our south side team, they're doing a neighborhood beautification campaign and doing a community organizing training. It's coming up a week from today at our office at the Southside Innovation Center. Our community service committee has been a really big part of our organization, and they organized the Reading is Fun block party, and I've done a lot of work with Mary Nelson. Shout out to Mary in the back there. So they're all about volunteering and giving back. They've done a lot of work around education. So yeah, I mean, my message to all of you is really just to believe in our future together and try to be, take Mr. Andrews's slogan seriously and be positive about this community. Take Chucky Holstein seriously and be positive, because you know, we have so much that we can do together as long as we know that we're all in this together. And I think this, you know, that we can do big things here. You know, so be part of the solution. And if you're interested in getting involved in Believe in Syracuse, you know, you can volunteer on our fundraising committee, volunteer on our program committee, apply to serve on our board of directors, become a corporate sponsor, become an individual member. And you got here's my email address and my phone number up there. So I'll leave that up there for you. And if anybody wants to meet up for coffee sometime, just shoot me an email. And, and I'm excited to interact with you guys a little bit. I've talked about enough, I think, so would love to take some questions. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you, John, very much. I wanted to ask, before I open it up to the audience, why do you feel that there are a lot of people in Syracuse that are negative about living here?
Yeah, like I said before, you know, it comes from a real place, because, you know, so many people were laid off. You know, my grandmother worked at Syracuse China. My father worked at Carrier. So many of those manufacturing jobs moved away. And I think that's contributed a lot to the cynicism and the negativity. And I think, you know, there's certainly, you know, a lot of room for growth in Syracuse. So, you know, I think a lot of it's real, and I don't want to invalidate any of that. And I think those are all issues that we need to work on, and I think that are being addressed to a certain extent. So I think it's just important, you know, that, you know, we acknowledge that, you know, that cynicism, it comes from a real place. And I think the weather doesn't help, right? But, you know, hey, we've got 9 months out of the year with good weather, and then the other 3 months are good basketball, so.
Nice way to put that. Actually, we have a guest here today who just moved back from Florida. She had been gone for 11 years, and now she's back in Syracuse. So, also, when you talk about the exit of big business and factories, you mentioned so many new businesses opening in downtown Syracuse. Do you feel like this wave of new entrepreneurs and new small businesses is going to be what propels Syracuse forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, certainly manufacturing is definitely an area for growth, and it's still an area for a lot of jobs here in Central New York, but I think it's new high-tech companies, service industry jobs that are really the future here. And I think, downtown you see so many businesses growing and expanding. You've got like a Silicon Valley company in Terrakeet and Armory Square, which is really exciting. So I think it's the entrepreneurs and it's the next generation that's leading the charge and really, building a local economy that's based here, and so many of those jobs that are being created now, they're not going anywhere because those are locally owned businesses. So
it would seem to me that if you want to bring back to Central New York or Syracuse specifically the men and women of your era, that they need to know that they're going to have a job similar to or better than the one that they presently have in North Carolina. Have you or your organization been meeting with the presidents, CEOs of major companies, corporations in Central New York, and to put together some kind of event, job fair, that could be an invitation extended to people who live outside to invite them back? I mean, a lot of the things you're doing are wonderful, but they seem to be oriented to things that are already, people that are already living here. And we live here. I'm a city resident, and I live here because, frankly, I love it. I don't need to be encouraged to come here. But I think for people that live outside and are of your age and are still working and need to work for the next 20 or 30 years, they need to know if they come back, they've got a job.
Right, absolutely. I mean, that's the first item that you're going to care about most as a young person or as a professional at any age. And I think that, not only that, I think one other thing that you can tell people is that you'll find a job is also that, the cost of living. I think the home price here, I think average home price is so low, especially in the city. I live in Eastwood, and it's really very affordable to live. But I think, to your point, we absolutely need more, more outreach done to local businesses and trying to get the word out. And we actually have a committee called the Pro Syracuse Committee, which is about retaining and attracting people here. And if you're interested, we'd love to have your insight and your input. Get involved, and because they've actually talked about doing just that and doing a career fair to try to show off local internships and or just local jobs. And I think it's really important for sure.
Oh, thank you. I'm the ex-Floridian. I've been back since April. Two observations. The first is just from my eyes and my pores. The city is very different now. I was here for 10 years from the starting in 93, I guess. It was, we made the cover of Forbes as the little city you couldn't when I was here. And that has changed. The whole, everything I see is much more upbeat. But I have to admit that a lot of that is looking in some of the chicer areas, Armory Square, et cetera, just so exciting. It was always a great place, but there's a real perceptible difference there now. The other thing is just from reading in the paper that we have the lots of better neighborhoods. We have lots of poorer neighborhoods, and they're right next door to each other, if I read the article correctly, which means that hopefully there are a lot of permeable borders that could be worked effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, to your point, your first point, I think absolutely right. I think, anybody thinking back to the 90s, the 80s, and today, I think we've seen the opposite trend of people moving back into our community, and I think the community is really on the rise. I think that is a lot of it in Armory Square. A lot of it, though, is in places like Westcott. A lot of it is in places. I showed a slide earlier with a whole bunch of new businesses, and none of those actually—they're all downtown, but none of them are in Armory Square. I think we're seeing a lot of the momentum moving eastward. A lot of the economic development moving eastward from Armory Square, towards Warren Street, with the Hotel Syracuse being there, the Tech Garden, the lighting company there on Warren Street. So I think we're starting to see a lot of that energy, you know, expand out. And I'm sorry, your second question? Yeah, and I think, you know, for so many people, and a lot of our message, you know, in the city, it really is that, you know, we believe in Syracuse, but what that really means is we believe in the people of Syracuse, and we believe in all the people of Syracuse. You know, I go to work every day at the Southside Innovation Center on South Salina Street, and, you know, I see firsthand that not everybody is benefiting from, you know, the growth that we're seeing in Central New York. So I think it's really important. That's why really our mission is really about taking that civic pride and converting it into programs that are, you know, effective on the north side, on the south side, and some of those really concentrated areas of poverty where, you know, I think a lot of civic engagement could do a lot of good.
Good morning. Thank you for being another positive voice, but I do have a suggestion. An area that's my personal pet peeve. When people complain about winter, that's not accurate. There are many of us here who love winter. We're a seasonal sport. Ice skating, snow, it's all wonderful. But if you present as a positive person this negative view of winter, that's not helping. So I would suggest that you turn that around and make winter a welcoming season.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah, point taken, and yeah, because like I said, I think it's, you know, having all four seasons here, it's something that some of us take for granted, but I think it's something that we can really talk about how great it is that, you know, you get to experience, you know, and you get to build a snowman and make snow angels. You know, you can't do that in Texas, so.
John, can you talk a little bit, there's a lot of really great organizations in town who are, you know, working hard to move Syracuse and Central New York forward. Can you talk about how you partner with some of those organizations?
Sure, yeah. You know, I think there's so many great organizations from 40 Below, Syracuse First, the Center State CEO, so many great nonprofits from the MOST to the Rescue Mission to the Zoo to, you know, there's so many great organizations and so many great causes. And you know, for me, I think it's all a net gain. It's all, you know, one of the things we do is really try to promote all the great work of all those organizations. You know, we've got a big social media platform, and we try to use that to showcase not just the local businesses, but also the local organizations and local nonprofits. So I think that's something that we really can bring to the table for organizations like that.
Hi, John. I've lived in Syracuse all my life and love Syracuse and have always believed in Syracuse and wondered, people that are so negative, it's always troubled me. I have always thought of Syracuse as a mini New York City. There's so much here. There's everything here on a smaller scale than a lot of big cities. It's great. I've worked downtown for 45 years. I can't believe it. But I hardly ever walk down Salina Street. And I did the other day. And I hate to be negative, but I was trying to look at it. There's so many positive things going on and so many new businesses opening up. That's wonderful. And if you focus on that, you feel good. I decided to focus on what if I'd never walked down this street before. It's filthy. It's filthy. And if I were somebody thinking about moving to Syracuse or coming back to Syracuse, I would wonder about the main street as I'm walking down it.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. And it's such a great point. It's something we're passionate about for sure because, you know, through our community organizing program, that's been a really big pillar. You know, through the survey we did, the biggest thing we found was that people wanted to see their neighborhoods, you know, their parks be cleaned up, their streets be picked up. And so I think that, you know, and that really comes down to people working together. And I think, you know, civic organizations have a big role to play in that, in doing that. So, yeah, you know, and not only through our community organizing program, also through our Syracuse Olympics, having given those grants out to those neighborhoods. Volunteer hours. That's going to be the focus, is to try to beautify the community and, you know, grab a shovel and join us.
Hi, I'm Linda, and I've lived in Syracuse by choice for probably 35, 40 years now, and I love it here. I taught my kids how to ski here, Elaine, and one lives in California now, one lives in North Carolina, but we brought international visitors to our house. My son brings people home from college. I had a few people stay at my house for extended stays. And the joy of having winter here was something they had never experienced before. And you had to see my son, 6 feet two, put his snowsuit on a 4 foot tall woman that he knew from China. So it was a blast. I'll continue with the weather. I look at the national weather, international weather. I'm still fortunate, I think, that I live here in Syracuse. It was a great place to raise my children. LDS class of 94, you know, Chucky Holstein fan. I just think that there are probably negative people out there that are negative about their own lives. But I think that when you look at the greater majority of us that choose to live here, we live here because we appreciate the benefits, the social network we have. And one last thing I want to tell you. This past summer, I did probably more local travel in the Northeast. I usually go spread out a little further. And one of the things that I picked up from my friends who left Syracuse, they said, because of our summer seems to be shorter than it is in other cities, we cram more in summer months than anybody else does in the nation.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I go to other cities, and I'm like, so what's happening this week? And they're like, nothing, you know? But you come to Syracuse, and you have to, like, choose which activity you're going to do. And people who, my friends who have retired and left, they miss that, you know? They miss, because you go to the activities, and you get to see people that you've known for a number of years. And I just think there's something about all of that that warms my heart about living here. And I love Syracuse.
Yeah, thank you for that. And yeah, and I'm glad to hear you say you're LGS. I'm LGS class of 2015 as well. And that was something I took away from going through that program, is the civic pride that so many people have here. And I think to your point about the seasons, you know, it's not just winter that's a great season to enjoy. In summer, I mean, the incredible number of festivals we have every weekend, it seems like, you know, from the Northeast Jazz and Wine Fest to the Arts and Crafts Fest, Festa Italiana coming up. So Greek Fest, so many Middle Eastern Fest, so many different, you know, things to experience and enjoy. Taste of Syracuse, I think there's so many great things in the summer. And then in the fall, you know, we've got the beautiful foliage that, you know, you don't see everywhere else. And so actually, I'll even invite all of you, Saturday, October 22nd at 10:30, we're meeting at Cafe Cubal Creek Walk Commons, and we're going to go on a little stroll through down the creek walk. And we're going to try to experience the take in the foliage and then have a little social networking event afterwards at the Saltine Warrior. So,
is that on your website?
Yeah, it's on our Facebook page.
Hey, John. So you said you started the organization in 2013, and it's an awesome thing. Since then, have you seen the attitudes have changed, and how do you go about, like, judging that, measuring it?
I absolutely. You know, I think just the notion of having an organization called Believe in Syracuse, you know, so many people, they just first find out about Believe in Syracuse even existing, and they're like, oh my God, this is, you know, this is so great. You know, Syracuse is so wonderful. You know, we get so many comments like that on our social media sites. And, you know, yeah, we've done a little bit of surveying to find, you know, has Believe in Syracuse impacted your view of the community? And it has been positive. So, you know, we're just trying to do as much of it as we can. And I think it's something that we will really want to track a lot in the future. But I think, you know, that's a really big goal. And also the other goal, like I said, is, you know, turning that excitement and that optimism into progress, because like I said earlier, not all of us, you know, are experiencing the best that Syracuse has to offer. So.
Hi, John. I wanted to ask you how Believe in Syracuse interacts with the long-lived neighborhood groups like the TNT groups, Tomorrow's Neighborhood Today. They've been working for many years, and I think it's a place where you really can learn about the aspirations of the neighborhood from a broad group of people. Is there a connection?
Yeah, I mean, the TNT groups are great. I think it's a really exciting model of being able to partner with city government, you know, from a grassroots level. I think it's a really exciting thing. And so, you know, and I think there, you know, and there are, you know, very active groups throughout the city for TNT. The neighborhood associations are very active, but really only in Eastwood and on the east side, the west side, Strathmore, Tip Hill. So I think that's part of what we're trying to fill with our community organizing program in the north side and the south side, and working with TNT as much as possible, because, you know, we're not territorial. We just try to, you know, it's all about Syracuse for us. And I think that's our message to partnering organizations is, you know, it's all about Syracuse. It's not about, you know, stepping on anybody's toes. It's all about working together. So many good questions. You go to so many things like this, and like there won't be any questions, you know?
Hi. First, I want to thank you on your presentation and all the good work you've been doing. Also, in relation to what sides of the cities are moving up, I think that the improvisation of the art corridor through the city is encouraging many young people in the arts, and that's building up very slowly through there. And I think in the future, maybe 10, 15 years, you'll see a huge progression of artists living on the west side of Syracuse. My interest and my quest is to see more young families moving into Syracuse. And every now and then when I'm with a different organization or a group of people, I do my own little quiz with people in that age category raising families and asking them where they live. And then I point out that Syracuse has so many advantages. First of all, the property. The property cost is a great value, the tax is a great value, the services are a great value, et cetera. So what is the deterrent? The deterrent that comes up all the time is education. So I'm wondering, is your committee, your volunteers, your board of directors, in any way, have they improvised, assimilated, or are looking into ways to reach out to the Board of Education and PT, parent teachers groups, et cetera, and finding a way to improve the education in Syracuse without going into all the newspaper print about the level of education? What are your ideas on that?
Yeah, well, I think it's a great point, and I think it's something that our board has been very passionate about, has been education. You know, as someone who, I live in the city and my wife is pregnant with our first child, it's gonna be really important to me in the very near future. On a personal level, and I think it's really important that we all, you know, that we have, you know, with our having a new permanent superintendent that is doing good work, and a new, you know, with our Board of Education, all that's so important. And what we have done, you know, we're, you know, a little nonprofit, a little grassroots organization. What we do a lot comes down to the grassroots and the volunteering on a neighborhood level. You know, our community service education committee has done, like I said, we did a Reading is Fun event over in the Salt Springs neighborhood, and we're able to get free books to kids in need, and we helped partner with Mary for her Youth Day backpack and school supply giveaway on the south side. So it's something we're passionate about, and I think it's somewhere where we could, you know, try to make as big of an impact as possible.
In my opinion, the Syracuse area, the greater Syracuse area, tends to be splintered. You have, 19 towns, 15 villages, all kinds of libraries, 56 fire departments, all that sort of thing. Is your group doing anything, on behalf of the recent move to try to form a more metropolitan government so as to eliminate a lot of these enclaves that you have around through the county and so on that seem to be resistant to change?
Right. Yeah, so I believe in Syracuse as a 501c3. We're kind of prohibited from any of the politics or any of the lobbying. You know, so we're not, you know, our program and our mission isn't really into the government itself. But on my point of view, I couldn't agree more. You know, I'm 100% in support of, you know, any ways that governments can at least work together, if not, you know, consolidate. And I think it's silly to have, you know, all those, you know, like you said, all those fire departments, and you've got the town of Elbridge and the village of Elbridge within each other. And, you know, I mean, Elbridge is great, and I think, but, you know, do you need both governments? You know, it's like, I mean, at least work together. You know, I think, you know, I applaud the consensus movement, and I think, you know, what I'd like to see is a lot more people take it more to not be so cynical when they come to the, you know, all the forums that they've held, to not just say, oh, this is a power grab, or that's part of what we're all about, is to, you know, try to, you know, actually put some trust in our leaders in this community, and at least give them a fair hearing, and not, you know, automatically think that they're trying to make a grab at power or money.
Hi, John. My name's Juanita, and we haven't heard from too many people that have actually been at your activities and have seen really what you've been doing, and I just wanted to offer to everyone, I've been to quite a few, and really what you're doing in this community is you're creating hope. Especially for young people. And at your gala, just talking to all the young people who are maybe graduating from high school and thinking about what they want to do next. But what I wanted to offer you is the hope you're creating in young people that have left, and for good reasons, whatever their skill set, whatever they're learning. But I know with my own children who are not in Syracuse, when I talk to them about I believe in Syracuse, that excites them. And I think someday when they're ready to settle down and have kids, they'll come back. And I think many of us are seeing that more and more. And what I'd like to see this program focus on is that too, because I think you're doing a great job with young people and families and really getting people inspired. But we should think about the future too, because our young people are going to come back. And let's tell them the exciting things about it, because they see it when they leave. Again, good weather in other places, maybe not all the activities we have here, transient in other places, but we have people who've been here forever. So there are great qualities. And so I'd like to see us think about how do we bring them back, because they will come back.
Absolutely. Yeah, and thank you for the kind words about our organization. And yeah, I mean, for me personally, my sister, she recently moved back. She lived in Connecticut, and she lived in Philadelphia for a while, and just recently moved back and just had a kid, and is married here. And I think that's, to your point, I think that's right, that, you know, so many people, once they're, you know, there's such a great quality of life here, and I think that it's such a attractive thing for people, at, you know, as they get to be my age in their 30s and they're settling down. I think, you know, that's something we really want to try to reach people and tell them about all the great things here, remind them of what they love about Syracuse. And, you know, so much of what we do, talking about, you know, through our social media, we interact with so many people that don't even live in Syracuse, that may have moved away to New York City or somewhere else, and engaging them about, you know, the, hey, did you know that there's a new restaurant open in Armory Square or in Westcott or on Tip Hill? And, you know, having them see that, I think, is making a difference. And really also trying to, you know, work on programs that can take people out into the community, maybe people who've never been here before or never lived here before, and show them the great things that we have here in Central New York, and partner with employers who, you know, in so many instances have jobs that they're having a hard time filling, you know, high tech employers here in Central New York that could really use the help. So I think it's a very important thing.
Thank you so much again, John, for coming today.
Thank you, everybody.